The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Members of the Saudi delegation, we want to thank you very much for being with us. We spent a lot of time with you today in the cabinet. You're extremely good negotiators, that I can tell you. So I want to thank you. And we have so many other unbelievable dignitaries. I won't talk too much about you because we'll be here all night. This room is loaded up with the biggest leaders in the world, business, sports. You know, my son is a big fan of Ronaldo, wherever Ronaldo is here. Ronaldo, and Barron got to meet him, and I think he respects his father a little bit more now, just the fact that I introduced you. So I just want to thank you both for being here. Thank you very much. Really an honor. But I want to thank everybody, because you have the biggest business leaders in the world. You have the biggest leaders politically anywhere in the world. And I think it's a group that maybe to this extent has never come together quite like this.
There was a time when the American president, whoever it was, no matter which party, would try to be an example for the rest of the world in terms of human rights, in terms of freedom of the press. And that is something that this president has never been interested in doing. He's cozying up to power, authoritarians and the like. And this is, and then to fet him at another opulent state dinner in all but name last night, described as the glitziest event that he has thrown for any leader so far this year, the most lavish event the White House has held so far this year.
And it shows that Trump is going to do what he wants to do. And what does he want to do? He wants to sort of buddy-buddy up with these folks. He wants to enjoy the trappings of the office.
I want to underscore just how much of a shift this was from Joe Biden. Remember back in 2022 when he met with the Saudi Crown Prince, it was a different circumstance. At the time, this is, of course, not here in the United States. There's a fist bump that between Biden and MBS, and that got actually a lot of criticism. Biden had called him a pariah at the time and had a much different view. And here's Trump literally rolling out the red carpet today and having this black tie dinner tonight.
I mean, so much of it speaks to what President Trump is able to do in a way that other presidents just have not been. Obviously, that was a huge deal when Biden did it. It took over headlines. His own party criticized him. We are not hearing anywhere near that same sort of
criticism anything
from Republicans, even those who particularly don't like Saudi Arabia. I mean, I think when I talk to the White House officials, they're describing this deal. They're obviously excited about the pomp and circumstance, something that we're seeing clearly on display just from that greeting. But they're also talking so much about the economic deals that they believe that are coming. So basically saying that Saudi Arabia is coming to spread out money across the U.S. in terms of investments. And they basically intertwined the foreign policy with domestic policy, basically saying that this is good for America because it's going to bring more money eventually into the pockets of Americans.
And he said, I am going to up that to $1 trillion. So he's investing $1 trillion into the United States. And when I was in Saudi Arabia, he looked at me, and I've used his name all over the place because he was the first to say it, but a lot of people have said it after. He said, you know, 1 year ago, we thought your country was dead, and now you have the hottest country anywhere in the world. We are the hottest country anywhere in the world right now. So I want to thank you for giving me one of the most effective lines that I have. And I quote you, and I quote some others, but I always put you up at top.
It was a magnificent evening, Sean, a magnificent day. Look, this comes fresh off the heels of President Trump brokering a peace deal that nobody thought was possible, between Israel and Gaza, securing the release of all remaining living hostages, as well as returning now almost all of the remains of those tragically lost. This was about securing a future of security and peace for the region and for the world. And today, President Trump continued in historic fashion the process he began in 2017 of uniting the world against extremism, against terrorism, against instability, against violence, and forming partnerships around prosperity, investment, peace, cooperation, and against radicalism. And so as part of today, so when President Trump was in the Middle East recently in Saudi Arabia, he brought $600 billion of investment home. Today, the kingdom raised that amount to $1 trillion. And as President Trump said, including in his remarks tonight at the dinner, that means more than anything else, jobs for Americans. This is the jobs president, Sean.
There's a lot of excitement. The Trump administration is giddy. They are overjoyed. Stephen Miller said this was a magnificent evening, a magnificent day. And we've talked about it on this show. If the thinking is if we just bring prosperity and then money will solve all of our problems, if we can just make a deal. And it's just a fundamental misunderstanding in the West of the way Saudi Arabia, the way Islam thinks. You look at just how much America has changed over the last 25 years. There's an Islamist mayor of New York City. And really, the outrage over that just hasn't been as prominent as you'd expect. There are mosques popping up all throughout the United States. And a lot of people, the Tucker Carlsons, a lot of them argue, well, they're culturally conservative. They align with us on these things, so they can't be that bad. Never mind that they're total hypocrites when it comes to that conservatism. You look at just, I was looking at a map of Texas, and it was this graphic that showed how many mosques have popped up there over the last 2 years. And what's even more surprising is how much the conservatives had complained about Islam for, 10, 15 years following 9/11. And to think of the shift on the right now is not complaining about Islam, not complaining about cozying up to the terrorists. They're complaining about the Jews. And there are many things that Trump is doing right. There's a lot of things that seem right. You could make the strategic argument about the balance of powers in the Middle East, but that's what really stood out to me in those speeches and in all the pomp and circumstance there with this dinner is that God isn't involved. God isn't there. It's Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right. And on paper and in man's eyes, there can be a lot of things that seem right there, but God is not involved in that process. And it might work for a little while. There might be a lot of prosperity. You talk about investing $1 trillion into a nation. There could be a lot of people excited, a lot of people making a lot of money. But this is also the tactic that these nations have used to take over the West. They buy up the culture. You look at Premier League teams, and they have Middle Eastern companies as, well, I shouldn't even call them companies. They're state-run organizations, and they wear that on their jerseys. And it's in the United States a lot more than it used to be. And they buy up the culture, and it's this campaign to win over the West. And they say the right things. Look at that dinner last night. Has Benjamin Netanyahu been welcomed in that way? Well, Israel, maybe they don't have oil. They don't have the money to offer that Saudi Arabia and Qatar do. In many ways, this administration and a lot of Trump's followers, they look at Israel and Bibi as, well, they're in the way now. They're in the way to us achieving peace, which is exactly the way Obama looked at Israel in the Middle East. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily, by the way. I'm Sam Livingston. I'll be your host for today's show. You can send any comments you have for the show, td@thetrumpet.com. You can subscribe to our YouTube and Rumble channels as well. The New York Times says, who attended Trump's dinner for the Saudi crown prince? The world's richest man, one of the world's most famous soccer players, the president of soccer's governing body, dozens of executives from the finance, tech, and energy sectors, These are some of the guests who attended President Trump's black tie dinner for Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia at the White House on Tuesday evening. The red carpet welcome for Prince Mohammed is an extraordinary moment in diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia. And they go through the list of all of the big names that were there. And what was interesting in that article was they had a subsection for each of them about their business relationships with Saudi Arabia. And it's the West, it's America, it's the descendants of ancient Israel mingling with these powers. And they love it because there's money to be made. They did it with China. They do it with all of these foreign powers. They sell out their country. And in their eyes, they say, well, this just brings stability to the region. We can solve all of these problems if we just invest and if there's money to be made, because that's all they want. But like Mr. Fleury has pointed out, you look at the hatred in these countries. You look at the hatred in Europe and Germany for someone like Donald Trump. You look at how much those Middle Eastern nations hate the United States. And one thing about that banquet last night was it was so opulent and exquisite. And it was a small room. Looking at the video of that, you can see why Donald Trump would want that ballroom. But you look at all of the problems we have, and it reminded me of some of these quotes in Amos 6. And Mr. Fleury goes through this in the Lion Has Roared booklet. He says, quoting Amos 6 and verse 6, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Joseph is the United States and Britain. Problems abound everywhere. Violence, crime, family breakdown, drugs, an enormous pornography sewage, perverted music, terrible problems in our financial structure and social unraveling. In spite of all our problems, people drink wine in bowls. They are living the good life as our nation falls apart. They are celebrating when they ought to be grieving. This is happening right now. And it's on the right and it's on the left. There's a lot of the MSNBC, which, by the way, is now MSN. Oh, what are they? It was MSN News or MS Now. They have the new logo on there. They would get along just fine with Russia and all of these dictators, but now this is an opportunity for them to bash Donald Trump. Mr. Fleury continues, therefore now, this is just quoting more of Amos 6, therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God has sworn by himself, says the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And Mr. Fleury points out how this is mainly about God's people who have turned away from him, spiritual Israel, but this applies as well to physical Israel. They rejoice in this physical substance, just more money to be made, more wealth. We'll sell out our culture. You see just some of the things that are being done in the White House. And you know, if Obama was doing that 15 years ago, that the right would have had a fit about it. But President Trump just brings all of the different cultures in. If we all get along, we're all going to prosper and have wealth, and we're in need of nothing. And it's that same spirit, that Laodicean spirit that permeates our age, permeates our society. Like I said, God wasn't involved in any of those talks yesterday. You don't hear anything about counseling with God or getting his direction on how to do this. It's all a way that seems right. And you look at the physical prosperity. Like I said, it could be huge, and that can lull people to sleep as all of this destruction is knocking on the door. Is this really how you achieve eternal peace? Is this how you bring stability and peace, or is it just a way that seems right? A way that seems like it's working for a little bit. You look at even some people on the left are giving Donald Trump credit for what he's doing, and there are a lot of things that, again, are just so contrary to the way Obama and Biden would have done things. This is from The Atlantic. What if America First appears to work? In his second term, Donald Trump has crafted a foreign policy that is more radical than that of his first, but also more politically viable. The stabilizing influence of powerful cabinet members is a thing of the past. In its place stands an unsettling but coherent vision that exploits U.S. allies for economic gain and downplays strategic competition with U.S. rivals in favor of money-making deals. Democrats and conservative internationalists warn of long-term costs, above all to American alliances and competitiveness with China. Again, they're just being hypocrites because they'd sell out faster than anyone else. They go on, but the short-term consequences have so far been muted, and that may be the most consequential revelation of all. President Trump has shown that a nationalist, protectionist, and transactional approach to global affairs can be sustained without immediate calamity. A lot of people looking to Trump. It's working. Trust in Trump. This is another clip just from MS News or MS Now, whatever they're called, talking about just some more details of this visit by the Saudi crown prince, clip five.
And the Saudis have a vested interest in this, of course, as well. You've seen what's happened, how they've tried to essentially, people criticize them as entertainment washing or sports washing, and just really trying to immerse themselves in Western culture. Just the, among the things, of course, LIV Golf, they've poached top golf stars to play, compete against the PGA Tour. That's, of course, a big row, of course, with the PGA, began hosting WWE events in 2014. They've been really aggressive and trying to go after top European soccer stars, including Cristiano Ronaldo, the Portuguese superstar, who is the biggest player in the Saudi Soccer League, and he's expected to be the White House today. This is all so. There's clearly a motivation here by MBS.
Yeah, well, look, it's a sort of an infotainment version of American diplomacy. But I think you're right to point out that the Soviets, the Saudis, they want things that Trump can give them. And part of it is the acceptance of the West. MBS wants the stamp of approval for his efforts to integrate Saudi Arabia more closely with globalized society and modernize Saudi Arabia. He wants American stamp of approval for that. He wants those F-35s. He wants access to American, not just defense technology, but also data centers. He wants AI. He wants advanced chips. These are the currency of the future, not just oil. And so the Saudis are coming here wanting. My question goes to Eli's point, which is, what kind of a deal is Donald Trump actually prepared to negotiate? Because it looks from the outside like he is willing to negotiate away something that we've made conditional before, which is to say, we're no longer asking on this trip for normalizing Saudi's relationship with Israel. It looks like Trump is prepared to give security guarantees without that being a condition of it. And that's why, you know, Joe Biden, Donald Trump in his first term, they chased Saudi Arabia to be part of the Abraham Accords, but they couldn't get the deal done, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen yet.
Kind of an interesting aspect to it, what she was saying there right at the end. And Mr. Fleury covered that a bit on the show yesterday about Israel just being kind of stuck in this place, in this hard place between the United States and between Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia is going to get what it wants without having to follow the Abraham Accords. And Lee Smith says, well, the Abraham Accords are done. Trump wants to, he has solved the Middle East. He's brought eternal peace, and he just wants to get on to the next thing. And a big reason for that is because it's just damaging him a lot more than he thought it would in the United States. That is his friendship with Israel. That bit she was talking about there at the start of that soundbite, just how Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the United Arab Emirates, they buy the entertainment industry. They buy the sports culture. And these big famous athletes, they're happy to take a $1 billion deal. They get signed for deals like beyond anything they would get in Britain or the United States. And they're already massive, as if a $100 million deal isn't enough. They want to go play in the Saudi Arabia League that nobody watches, and they get paid $1 billion because this Saudi Arabia wants to be like the West. Well, we're all just friends. We're all getting along here. And people are just so quick to sell out for some money rather than saying, I'm not going to go contribute to that culture. I'm not going to live in a nation like that. Well, there's money to be made. We got to make a deal. Lee Smith says, farewell to the Abraham Accords. For Israel, a normalization deal with Saudi Arabia is worth little more than the paper it's written on. For Saudi Arabia, especially if it gets Israel to agree to a two-state framework, a normalization agreement could cause large and unforeseeable dangers. The Palestinian file has proven itself to be a curse to those who wield it, like the Soviet Union, Nasser's Egypt, the Assad's Syria, and Saddam's Iraq, all of which have faded from history, even as the Islamic Republic of Iran now teeters on the abyss. As for Trump, he's already had his big Middle East victory, a win much more significant and durable than a normalization agreement. Not only did he, in partnership with Netanyahu, eliminate the Iranian threat, sort of, but also he revived the U.S.-led regional order that is crucial to American peace and prosperity. Israel is America's regional enforcer and a good destination for tech investors. The Saudis pump cheap oil to stabilize global energy markets, buy U.S. arms systems, and invest in U.S. industry. That's a regional order that works well for everyone, starting with the United States. Now it's time to get the Middle East and the black hole in the middle of it, the Palestinians, off the front page and turn to the bigger issue on which Trump's historical legacy will rest, China. I don't know how much of that is like totally the way Donald Trump is thinking, but you can tell Donald Trump wants to be done with that. He wants to solve that problem and its eternal peace, and now he can walk away from it and not have to deal with the bad press in the United States, not have to offend Tucker by looking like he's bowing to Bibi. And again, it's a way that seems right. It's a way that seems to work. The United States doesn't want their aircraft carriers there. They don't want their bases in the Middle East. Even it's a really small price to pay to bring regional stability. This is, I'll go through a few clips from Donald Trump at that dinner last night. But he is talking again about how, well, if we just give them the weapons they need, if we work with them, it'll bring stability to this region. Rather than the United States being there physically present to bring stability, we're going to give our quote-unquote allies the power to do this. This is clip 10.
But this will mark and make both of our nations safer and cement the kingdom's role as a key force for stability and security in the Middle East. And they are, I think right now I can say with what we did with our beautiful B-2 bombers going in and obliterating a very serious nuclear threat, which would have taken place in about a month from that date. They were ready to go. They're not ready to go anymore. They'd like very much to make a deal with us, and they call us, and we'll end up probably doing that. That's Iran. But when you really think about it, Your Majesty, I think that this is the best in terms of safety. Saudi Arabia has never been as safe as it is right now. You always had a little cloud over your head, and sometimes that cloud was very big. That cloud is not there anymore, and we want to keep it that way. So that's why tonight I'm pleased to announce that we are taking our military cooperation to even greater heights by formally designating Saudi Arabia as a major non-NATO ally, which is something that is very important to them. And I'm just telling you now for the first time because I wanted to keep a little secret for tonight. I just heard him say, oh, that's nice. That's another point you won today. But and signing a historic strategic defense agreement, which we just signed a little while ago. So congratulations. It's our great honor. A stronger and more capable alliance will advance the interests of both countries, and it will serve the highest interest of peace. And we all share in peace, and we've never had and been so close to truly everlasting peace in the Middle East. All my life I've heard, oh, peace in the Middle East, but it'll never happen. We did it. Now we have to make sure it matures properly and is really as strong as we think it can be. But we've gotten all good signals. I want to just thank you for all the help, too.
A lot of excitement and a lot of pride. Even just him calling him Your Majesty is frustrating to hear the most powerful man in the world speak that way. We've never been so close to truly everlasting peace in the Middle East. And again, if you want to make a deal, and it's not like Reagan didn't have to talk to bad guys, but to have this huge show and to have this huge celebration, we're all friends now. There's going to be peace. And again, it will lull people to sleep because it seems right. It might work for a little while. But again, look at Bible prophecy. Look at the Psalm 83 alliance and what Mr. Fleury has said about that alliance. They're willing to work for a little while, but there is a betrayal coming. One more clip. Well, I've got a couple more actually from President Trump last night. This is clip 11.
Gaza, while it looks a little bit messy, it has for many, many years, I will tell you, many decades, but it's getting very close to being perfected. And people are shocked. And even the great experts that have gone around criticizing badly every country and every president and everything, they're all saying that what's taking place in the Middle East is a miracle. They're just calling it a miracle. And we're going to make it a miracle. And we're very close to doing that.
We're going to make it a miracle. Like I said at the beginning, God's not involved. They're just even acknowledging God in that process. We're going to make this a miracle. We're going to do it our way, the way that seems right. One more clip from President Trump, clip 12.
It was, there's been a lot of celebrating this week, especially at the White House.
And a lot of progress has been made with respect to Gaza and just about everything else we touch. Just yesterday, the United Nations Security Council formally adopted my peace plan and officially endorsed the Board of Peace. This is a board like no other. It will have the heads of major countries. I think all of the major countries. I hope Your Highness will be on the board. You'll accept, I hope. But the Board of Peace will be something that's never even been thought of before.
Never been thought of before. We have tried boards of peace many, many times before. Like Mr. Armstrong said about the United Nations, it seems right, but it's doomed to fail. This isn't God's world. And if you're not, this is not how you bring lasting peace. There's been a lot of progress that's been made with respect to Gaza and just about everything else we touch. I mean, just talking so highly and so confidently, I mean, in many ways, it's pretty humiliating because there's no guarantee that that happens. And then when it falls apart, well, you've got all of these sound bites from the past years talking about eternal peace as if this was the way. Like I said, it's just kind of humiliating how giddy and excited they are. If it's one thing, if you want to make the deal and get on with it, it's a strategic partnership. We're doing this only because we want this balance of powers. But it's this huge show. And it's eternal peace. Sending those F-35s to Saudi Arabia. A couple years ago, the United States agreed to send those to Germany. Here's Scott Bessent talking about Saudi Arabia getting this deal with the F-35s. This is back to clip 3.
That was a big announcement at that moment. 600 to a trillion.
Brett, it was the president at his best, working for the American people, always looking for more for them. And it was a big day here today.
What does that look like? I mean, it sounds great, 600 billion to a trillion, but how does that roll out? What does it actually look like?
Well, Brett, think about it. If you are another country in the world, what do you look to the U.S. for? What are the sources of American power? And that's what we saw on display here today. First, there's the military. So Saudis are going to be buying F-35s, coveted by everyone around the world, proof that they are a valuable ally.
Proof that they are a valuable ally. Well, since we're giving them these things, now they're loyal to us because they're going to have to pay us to have them updated. They're going to have to pay us for the technology. They'll never betray us. Now that they have the coveted F-35s, it's a guarantee of eternal peace. Again, there's a strategic vantage point here. That seems right, but where is God in all of this? You really want to put your trust in Saudi Arabia, in a Muslim kingdom that harbors terrorists? One more clip about the F-35s, clip six.
But it's also that Trump is boosting the military relationship with Saudi Arabia. And that's something that we'll be watching for today, because Trump said that he's going to be allowing them to purchase F-35s, which is a major development. The Saudis have long wanted these F-35s. They're some of the most advanced U.S. military weaponry. And there are reports and concerns in the U.S. intelligence community about the possibility of China, who has a defense relationship with Saudi Arabia, getting access to some of the U.S. kind of development on that front. And that's why there's always been pause on this. But the Trump administration appears to be moving forth.
Fascinating point that she brings out. It's rare that I would agree with CNN on something. But how do you guarantee that these nations who work with all of the bad guys aren't going to give the bad guys our technology, or you know, just even explain certain aspects about how it works to them? Why put that trust there? Well, I mentioned the Psalm 83 Alliance. You can put that map up on the screen. It's a map in one of the Trends articles, and it just talks about and it explains, you know, where these nations are going to or how they're going to end up working together. And there's the Psalm 83 Alliance, and these are these moderate Arab nations that work closely with the Syria or Germany. And then there's this Daniel 11 Alliance that's led by Iran, the king of the south, or radical Islam as it leads Iran. And that's Iraq and Ethiopia and Libya and Egypt. And you kind of see the United States like just laying the groundwork for those moderate Arab nations. You see it in Syria and Lebanon, in Gaza, in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. You know, they're working closely with the United States. And then there's probably going to be this point where the United States just wants to be done with the Middle East, isolationist. And who's just going to be right there for those nations to turn to and to work with? It'll be Germany. It'll be Europe. Just along the lines of the F-35s, I mean, Germany is going to have a lot of those as well. Saudi Arabia can go to them for help. And you see the United States just kind of clearing the way here, making it easier for Germany to come into this area, making it easier for this alliance to come together. And Psalm 83, as Mr. Fleury has said, even commentaries say, well, there's never an alliance like that throughout ancient history. It's prophecy, and that alliance forms with the goal, and you can read it in your own Bible, to blot out the descendants of Israel, to blot out Israel. The United States and Britain. You see the United States, you see the power. All America just wants to get out, like I said, of this area. They're focusing on Venezuela. They're moving the Navy, all of these ships, back to the Caribbean, back to the Western Hemisphere. I thought I'd point you back to this article that Mr. Fleury had written back in 2022 when the United States and Germany agreed to this deal about selling F-35 jets. Mr. Fleury, the article is titled, America Trusts Germany with Stealth Nuclear Fighters. Germany announced yesterday that it intends to buy American-made F-35 Lightning II jets. These are America's most modern fighter jets, filled with America's top technology. Only the United States' closest allies are allowed to buy them. To be getting such jets is a major military advancement for Germany. For the first time, the German Air Force will have a stealth jet. This will also be its first fifth-generation fighter, but most significantly, this jet is designed to carry Germany's nuclear weapons. Later on, he says, how naive America is to entrust this immense firepower to nations that so recently and throughout history have proved to be enemies of the free world. Right now, Germany seems to be an ally of the United States, but what if this nation, our arch enemy in World Wars I and II, turned against us in the next war? Germany claims to be an ally, and you could say that about these Psalm 83 nations. They claim to be an ally. They want to work here. They want to invest. The money will make everybody happy. Just trust Saudi Arabia to take care of it. Mr. Fleury says, yet Europe is sending more money to Russia right now than it was before Russia invaded Ukraine. Germany has led all of Europe to refuse to boycott Russian oil and gas. They're not even taking simple steps that could reduce the amount of money they send to Russia. I think a little bit of that has changed, but just surface level for the media. Building that Nord Stream pipeline to begin with, a lot of people said that's going to trigger a war in Ukraine because Russia doesn't have to depend on those pipelines running through Ukraine. They bypass Ukraine. And Germany kept building. Mr. Fleury says, is Germany really acting like an ally, especially one that America can trust with the most destructive weapons ever produced? America trusts Germany, but history screams that it shouldn't. The trust America is placing in Germany is absolutely condemned by the Bible. Why? Because it is trusting other nations rather than trusting God. And you can read through Ezekiel 23, and it talks about just these nations behaving like harlots and trusting in their lovers. And it's really graphic because it's about how God feels about this. Look at how you go and just flirt with and commit all of these treasonous acts with other nations, but you won't turn to God. You won't trust God. You won't trust me. And there's a really vivid and graphic description about how that would make God feel. Mr. Fleury says, God has a strong view about cozying up to such lovers. It is a matter of trust. America has no trust in God for protection, so it is trusting another nation. In this case, one with a terrifying history. We have put human beings ahead of God. God condemns modern Israel, especially America, Britain, and the Jews, because they have forgotten me. That is a serious mistake these nations are going to come to regret. It might seem great. It might seem like it's working for a while. A lot of people will get really excited about it. It might seem like America's back, but it's all hollowed out. Like Hosea says about Britain, it's a cake not turned. Just going back to this Psalm 83 alliance, there's a lot of instability in Northern Africa. You can put that map back up on the screen. And it is fascinating to see, again, the United States and Europe working more with Syria, Lebanon, and in Gaza with Saudi Arabia, because that's where that alliance is going to be. And Iran has been pushed out of those places. It was shocking when Assad was forced out in Syria because Syria had been allied with Iran for so long. But we know because of this map, because of Psalm 83 and Daniel 11, that wasn't going to hold. Mr. Fleury said that a decade or 15 years before it happened. But then you see now Iran losing influence in those countries. And now you see instability in North Africa, along where those nations, if you look at the map, those nations in green, Egypt, Libya, Ethiopia, Eritrea, that area is becoming the new terrorist haven. That area is becoming very unstable, and Iran thrives in areas like that. This is a clip from the Wall Street Journal. They made this video about the Sahel region, or that area of Northern Africa, and it's like an ocean. It's hard to get to. It's a desert ocean. And these terror groups are moving through this area. And the West has been pushed out. The United States voluntarily left that area. France voluntarily left. I think Germany left. And then these nations brought in Russia to try to bring stability. And all that did was just cause this huge exchange of arms to where these terrorists now have more weapons than they did before. And how much longer before Iran is working in there the way that it worked through Hezbollah, the way that it worked through Hamas and Syria? This is a little bit of a longer clip, but it's just interesting to see what's happening in this region of the world that we don't often pay much attention to, but is really important in the context of these prophecies. This is, again, from the Wall Street Journal, clip 14.
This is the new face of Al-Qaeda, and its fighters are now on the doorstep of this capital, choking off fuel and food, sending residents scrambling and the U.S. Embassy evacuating. If the city of Bamako falls, the terror group could soon dominate the whole country of Mali.
It has become, with that scenario, a real possibility.
But what does the group actually want? And 25 years into the war on terror, how are Al-Qaeda militants still gaining ground? This Al-Qaeda branch is called Jamaat Nusrat al-Islam wa Muslimin, known by the initials JNIM, or Janim, seen here in videos released by its propaganda arm. It's roughly 6,000 fighters span several countries in the Sahel, where the Sahara Desert and the Savannah meet, including Mali.
They have connections with both the Taliban and Al-Qaeda Central in Pakistan and Afghanistan. So the connection is pretty deep, actually, despite the physical distance.
The Sahel is now the epicenter of global terrorism.
There were issues of governance, generally in Africa, so not just in the Sahel, that led to a rise of the jihadist movements. And after Al-Qaeda became largely irrelevant in the Arab Muslim world, it grew exponentially in Africa.
French forces, with U.S. support, started intervening in 2014, helping local governments successfully push back Al-Qaeda militants. But the group was never defeated, just contained. And local military officers, frustrated by the lack of progress, seized power across the region. A wave of coups that started in Mali in 2020. The new military juntas kicked out Western forces. In Mali, Army General Assimi Goïta instead turned to Russia and its Wagner Group mercenaries. That moment arrived this summer, when Wagner mercenaries pulled out and Russia agreed to send a new defense ministry force.
When with that force, they have no experience of the terrain and they are inefficient. So the thing that Jnim did was they actually started to attack convoys, got really enormous amount of weapons, which we see now daily being seized. And that gave them the power and the strength to then start really going after the capital.
Jnim used those weapons not to assault Mali's capital, Bamako, but to siege it. The landlocked nation relies on imports, but with strategic attacks on fuel tankers, the group has strangled those crucial lifelines.
They saw that, oh, the military cannot respond anymore because they don't have access to fuel. The military has, you know, aircraft, helicopters, much better equipped. But you know what? If they can't fly, it's pointless.
But Jnim militants are agile, often seen traveling by motorbike in their propaganda videos, with control over rural areas giving them cover.
Every time they made some progress, let's say they carry an offensive, Jnim comes back and basically retake the territories. They created this very big spider wave that surrounds the cities. Obviously, the end game is takeover, but you don't need to take over necessarily through door-to-door fighting in the city. That's not what asymmetrical insurgencies do. They just leave the regime to crumble, like it happened in Syria, like it happened in Afghanistan. And then when it's kind of rotten to the core, it collapses by itself. You just enter without a shot.
They're basically just besieging these capital cities and just holding them hostages and holding out, blocking off fuel. And again, without fuel, without an air force, these little terror groups are as powerful as these national governments. And like I said, he's talking about Mali, but it's moving east. There's a terrible war in Sudan. And to go back to those earlier clips and you hear how Donald Trump talks about Iran, and he just speaks like they're gone, they're not a problem anymore. We took out all of their nuclear capabilities, and it was definitely a setback, but even I was watching a clip of the UN Atomic Agency guy. He was saying, we can't get in there, we can't verify anything. We don't know the status of it. And President Trump's declaring eternal peace. And then to think, well, what if Iran, they just come right back and they just start funding these groups and it moves over into Ethiopia and they're up into Egypt and they're blocking off the Suez Canal and the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. And to the United States at that point, they're not even mentioned in so many of these prophecies. They're isolationists. We don't want anything to do with it. Germany, Europe, you take care of it. That's your area of the world. Most of the trade going through those canals is for you anyway. It's your problem. You can just see all of these things coming together. And you see the United States, again, just falling in the midst of all of it, wanting to just focus on self and doing what seems right. This is a longer clip from Mr. Flurry. This was a Key of David that he gave back in September of 2020. It's titled the Psalm 83 Prophecy. And again, I think it just explains a lot of this that we're seeing right now, but it pulls in Germany and Saudi Arabia together. And it's a warning about the United States, for the United States, to be cautious, to stay away from these sorts of deals. Don't put your trust in men. This is clip 13.
There's been a lot of celebrating this week, especially at the White House, because of the peace in the Middle East, as the president has called it. But is it really going to bring peace? Well, we need to think about that, because there's a lot of violence in the Middle East at this time. Isaiah 59 verse 8 says, "The way of peace they know not." That's just a blanket statement for all of our history. We don't know the way of peace. Only God does. And are this new peace pact that they're signing, or pacts, are they really looking to God? Or is it just about men trusting men? Now that brings only curses, Jeremiah 17 verse 5 says. But I want to talk to you about Psalm 83 and a prophecy there that really talks about what is happening in the Middle East right now in the beginning stage, just the beginning stage. And you'll find here the moderate Arab nations are going to unite, but not with the U.S. or not with a little nation called Israel. They're going to unite with Germany. And that's what this prophecy says, and you can prove that to yourself. Why Germany? Well, how could Germany lead them? Well, there's a lot of division in the U.S., and we're wanting to get more and more out of the Middle East as Germany gets more and more into it. And they have a lot more unity with those moderate Arabs than you will ever even imagine. So here you have these moderate Arabs united, and they're against Israel. And that includes America and Britain and the Jewish nation, and those three in particular of the 12 nations of Israel in this end time. Those three are focused because they are the birthright nations and the scepter nation. And that's all explained in the United States and Britain in Prophecy book. But these enemies are conspiring against biblical Israel. Notice verse 4, they have said, "Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Think about that. Here, these people are not only at this point, not only trying to blot out Israel, they're trying to blot out the name of Israel forever. I mean, you talk about hatred. That's a lot of hate. Now, this is happens just after Iran has been conquered by Germany and the European allies. So they become very powerful at that point, and then they unite these moderate Arabs. Can you believe this? That what you're seeing in the Middle East right now is the beginning of this unity that they're trying to achieve in the Middle East, but Germany's going to move in, and they're going to do the uniting themselves, and they don't like, they don't like America and Mr. Trump very well. And of course, they've started World War I and World War II. So they are people that need to be watched. At least they need to be watched. But if you remember in World War II, most of the Arabs fought and were allied with the Nazis of Germany. How do you explain that? So here we have something that we all need to be thinking about, because, look, the Bible does talk about peace coming very soon to fill the whole earth. And it's all going to lead directly from these events that are unfolding before your eyes. And we can prove that to you. This is the beginning of Psalm 83, and God is trying to help us avoid getting into some serious trouble. He doesn't want us to see, to have wars in the Middle East, but He wants us and commands us to come to Him for peace, and He'll give it to us, and He'll give us prosperity, and He'll give us happiness. And He's always said that throughout the Bible.
Isn't that the irony of it? They want wealth, and they're chasing after money and prosperity, but they're doing it in a way that seems right to them. They're not trusting God. They're not looking to God. And if you do it that way, the simple way, not trying to play balance of power and help them out, and we'll have all these strategic deals and make sure that they work with them, and that's where you get World War I. And it complicates everything. But God's way is simple. Trust Him, and boy, you'll make a lot of money. You'll prosper. It will work. It's simple. But man just keeps doing what seems right in his own eyes. And like Mr. Fleury said there, I mean, Germany, they have a lot more in common with the Arabs. They fought alongside each other. They hate the Jews. They hate the descendants of Israel. They hate the United States and Britain. And this is where America is putting its trust. And it's not ancient history either. It wasn't that long ago. Well, I don't have time to get into another story, so I will end a few minutes early, maybe to make up for the times where Mr. Fleury's gone over by 30 seconds. You can have your time back by 3 or 4 minutes. If you haven't, you can request all of our, you can request free literature. Don't request all of it at once. That's a lot of stuff to process. But subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine. If you haven't read the King of the South booklet, request a free copy of that. You can read it online right now for free whenever you like, but get a print copy, mark it up, put the notes in your Bible, get familiar with these prophecies, and again, let them turn you to God. That's why they're there. And put your trust in God. Well, thank you very much for joining us on today's show. If you have comments, you can send those to td@thetrumpet.com.